Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
Okay.
Humans don't decide their future. They decide their habits.
Yes.
Discuss.
Discuss. Well, I would even go one step farther back from that. What I would say is that humans hopefully decide their habits, because often what happens is that habits are created by default, not by design. And so
it's episode 247 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts, Rick and Mark.
And not in order.
Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy. And how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is Dr. Sandra Scheinbaum. She is passionate about transforming healthcare by training health coaches to help people become CEOs of their own health. She spent nearly five decades making healthcare and education more holistic and innovative, and she's going to join us in 9 minutes. How are you, Rick?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We need to clarify something. This is not one of the things that I had for a crosstalk. Okay. I had a listener text me and say, Herschel Walker never broke a bat over his knee.
And I feel like if you watch the video when he was saying
we
that,
were both just like, I did watch it.
This, we both make this face going.
But we don't want to say anything. And I didn't understand. He called us.
Mozart sits down to paint.
Yeah, exactly, Norm. When he called us FOS, and I don't think he understood the question I had, and he called us both full of S.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. And then so when he got his signals crossed a little bit. Okay. Two things. First.
Yes.
Mandalorian?
Like, are you asking if it is a noun or a verb?
Have you watched it? Are you into
it? My children are Star Wars nerds, and yes, I've watched it. Yes. It's a very good show.
You enjoyed it? Have you finished it?
Oh, yeah.
So no spoilers. Oh, Sandra Scheinbaum just entered the waiting room. But okay. We have 7 minutes. We're going to make her wait. I'm not going to spoil anything. Chapter 16, which is the finale of season 2.
Okay.
Is pretty great.
The whole show's pretty great.
There is a little twist at the end. Somebody shows up. And you kind of know he was going to come, and it was pretty awesome.
There you go.
That's what she said.
I think like a few episodes before that, when it became apparent, and we are going to do a little bit of tiny spoilers, when he teams up with Boba Fett and the lady, whose name I don't know, but I have to ask my kids, like, hey, who's the one who did the thing and the thing? And they're like, Dad, you idiot. Yeah. But he teams up with Boba Fett and a lady, and they start just absolutely wrecking shop. Like, that's when it got really good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So Mandalorian is good. As not a Star Wars nerd can explain and can tell you all, it's worth a watch. And in The Mandalorian, I have watched Narcos, and I've seen clips of him from Game of Thrones, and he was in
Pedro Pascal.
He's in the new Wonder Woman movie.
Which is terrible.
I went and watched it by myself in a theater, all by myself on New Year's Eve. In the theater by myself on New Year's Eve. Have I not told you this story?
You have not.
So I Fandangoed. We're in Green, or New Braunfels, for our anniversary trip. And so Jen, as is our custom, one of the days on the trip, she goes to Target, TJ Maxx. There's like a little shopping center. And I'm like, we've learned over 18 years of marriage, I'm going to go to a movie or something. She's going to shop. We're not going to try to shop together. So
there's nothing that makes you more tired instantly Like I would go shopping with Anna, like to Old Navy, and she's not like someone who would spend an hour and a half shopping.
And it's still
as soon
too
as we
much.
Walk in, it would be. I would literally be like, I could go to sleep.
Well, Jen, the face. Jen says, I cross my arms and I follow her around with this look. And like,
if
and then I'm just
buy
like,
a pair of pants.
Yeah,
I
right.
walk into a store,
grab
straight
them.
To the pants aisle. I go, my size, okay, and I'm out.
Pay and I'm
just
done.
Takes
right,
2 minutes.
Right.
Never try it on. Never do anything like that. Don't compare. Just these are pants.
Right.
We'll cover my bottom. It will do.
And my front, hopefully.
Well, that's always a challenge.
Not, yeah, I was gonna say in your case it's a little different. Welcome, Sandra. Shine mom. Okay, so very quickly. So she drops me off at the theater, and I Fandango from my phone, like, and it's New Year's Eve about 2 in the afternoon.
Hey, Fandangoed.
So I'm like, what do I want to see? Wonder Woman, I don't know. So I like superhero movies. So I click. When it goes to choose your seat, every seat was available, and I thought maybe there was a glitch in the system or something, so I picked the middle of the theater. I go in at like the movie started at 1:45. I purchased the ticket at like 1:45. Okay, I walk in, mask on, the whole thing, and I've got my little Apple Wallet phone thing. And the guy like clicks it, and he's like, "All right, you're theater 12, right down the hall, and enjoy the show." I was like, "All right." So I walk down and I get to the theater, and it's got like the barricade across it, and all the lights are on in the theater. And so I kind of was like trying to look through. I'm like, "What's going on over there?" You know, it's like, well, is it in another theater? Like, it's supposed to be. The trailer is supposed to be starting, you know? So I walk back down the hall. I was like, hey, there's like a barricade and like the lights are on. He was like, oh, hang on one second. He's like, yeah, head back down there. The manager is going to meet you down there. So I meet down there and this guy comes out of like the back room and he's like, you bought the ticket for this showing of Wonder Woman? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay. So he's very annoyed. He does the barricade. He walks in, and there's like a team of people in there, like cleaning the theater. And I'm like by myself with the guy, like in his back pocket, you know. And like he walks in, and he looks up at the guys, and he's like, "Hey, somebody actually bought a ticket for the showing. So y'all like get to a stopping point, and y'all need to get out of here." Like, yeah. And I was just like,
real professionally run operation here.
I was like, oh, sorry, everyone. And so like, so I was the only one. So I went and sat down, and I could tell they were all like annoyed because they were like trying to finish this theater. They're cleaning it. And so they were like, enjoy the show, sir. And I was just like all by myself.
Enjoy the show, idiot.
They're like, enjoy the show, Pee Wee Herman. So like, I was speaking and no one's looking. Oh my gosh. Okay. So that was that, and I didn't even get to the thing that I was going to talk to you about. So next time, remind me, crosstalk, I want to talk to you about your clothing situation, like when you get home from work.
Oh,
I want to talk about that. Like, I want to talk about your process, because I have a process.
I've got a process too.
That I try to, like, do you know, some people stay in their work clothes like till bedtime. Some people like they come in the house and they immediately strip. But I don't want to talk about it now.
Okay.
Well, I want to talk about that next time. And we've got we normally do this at the end of the show, but next week we are interviewing Sean McCormick. Who's been on the show before.
Yes.
And the Mavericks play that night as well. They're playing right now. Udo Erasmus is on the 10th. David Minkoff, 17th.
I'm watching right now.
Evan DeMarco. Shut up. Evan DeMarco and Jana Breslin are on February 24th. I'm really excited about that. They're actually very famous. Dr. Casey Means on the 3rd. Then it's spring break. Then we have Jen Broyles back on. Vincent Pedre. Megan Dasani, Renee Garcia, Razgatis, Mike Berland. We're booked out until April 28th.
Well, then.
We're famous.
2021.
I need to check our...
Maybe there's a hot check for $3 waiting for us to be picked up. I wonder if we can get them to give it to us like the large
like the
novelty,
big check.
Like the golf tournament check.
Oh, okay. That would be hilarious. Let's
let's stop talking about you in a theater naked. Is that a statue of a dog?
There's Roger.
I think he's moving.
Who you said we should kill last week.
Yeah. You sounds like he looks like he's really living it up right now.
Okay.
He might actually be not alive right now.
It is. Okay, his eyes moved. Okay, we're good. It'll be 13
underneath his nose.
Okay. Look, we're just gonna do this. It actually worked. And
let's do it this way.
Admit, and here she comes. I'm recording. My biggest fear. Okay, we're recording. Okay, it's Dr. Scheinbaum?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Hello.
So we're recording.
Okay.
We just did the intro. Thank you. Because I will say this. There are two ways to join a Zoom meeting. There's one where you click a link and then it just magically opens. The other is you get an 8 or 9 digit ID number. It can be different. It can be more. And you click on join a meeting and you punch in the number. Did you know how to do that already?
Yes.
Okay.
We've had a lot of confusion with guests lately. We'll send them our personal meeting
ID
code and they're like,
where's the link? I'm like, it's okay. It's almost February of 21. We've been Zooming for a year.
Yeah.
Can we not figure this out yet?
Yeah. There's multiple ways. So often I'll go to my calendar first, click on join Zoom. That's easy.
Right.
Sometimes if it's set up through a calendar schedule, sometimes it doesn't work that way. So then I'll go to my Zoom account, click join a meeting. I copy and paste the
easy
ID. And boom, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's all, we haven't had the hackers yet on my Zoom come in and try to do crazy stuff. But apparently that's a thing where people can do that. So, Dr. Scheinbaum, do we call you Dr. Scheinbaum? Sandy? Sandra?
Sandy's good.
Where, obviously you're sitting in front of a bookcase, but where are you in the world right now?
Yeah, I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
What's the weather like out there? I'm trying to look at the books behind you, too.
It is about 60, which is cold for Arizona. When it gets down to 60, people are wearing hats and mittens.
It's so funny. People then are from Minnesota. When it's 40, they're in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is no big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you guys right now?
Rick?
We're both in Texas. I am in Fort Worth, and Mark is about 2.5 hours west of here in Abilene, kind of right smack dab in the middle of Texas.
Okay.
Yes. Are you from Arizona? Or where are you from originally?
No, from Chicago area.
Oh, okay. So you know about the cold weather.
Yeah. we're hardy.
So are you a Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears? What's your sports affiliation? Or are you I don't care about any of that?
Yeah, Cubs, Bears, hockey, Blackhawks. But never really into sports. I'm more of a theater fan.
Okay.
So I'm more of a music theater, song and dance person.
So have
Blackhawks you... Blackhawks just scored, by the way, to tie it 1-1 against Nashville.
Oh, really? They're playing? Okay.
Perfect timing.
I'm going to delete all your games off my account that you're stealing. Okay, so Broadway is shut down. Rick probably doesn't know this because Rick doesn't have the Broadway connections that I have. I know Hugh Jackman.
Never been to a musical. No, I'm. I, take
I know
that
Hugh
back.
Jackman.
I've seen one musical. I've seen Footloose the musical.
Oh, that was a good one.
2001.
Where?
At Fair Park in Dallas. It was because of a girl I was dating. It was not my favorite activity I've ever done because I have no culture. I am not a cultured man. And so I stuck out like a sore thumb there.
So, well, I'll make a deal with you. My daughter wrote, produced, and I produced, and it was an off-Broadway hit closed down by the pandemic. It was called Emoji Land. She started it. And ironically, it was about a virus that infects a phone and the whole emoji civilization is threatened. It's a musical. So they're on stage singing about a virus, and literally outside on Broadway, the whole theater scene is being shut down by a real virus, and you could feel the tension in the audience. This was early March.
Yeah.
And so they left the set is still up, and she's from LA. They all flew back. But anyways.
So she was in New York, obviously.
Performing, was a co-writer on this. But anyways, if it ever, when it gets revived in better times, we'll send you some comps.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So my sister-in-law's sister is in the Hugh Jackman show, and it's fine. I kind of know. I'm kind of friends with Hugh Jackman because of that. Right, Rick?
No, Mark claims that he is now Hugh Jackman's best friend. And so, like, one of these days I'm going to run into Hugh Jackman and be like, hey, I know Mark Rogers. And he's going to be like, I don't know who that is.
No, he's such a nice person. He would say, oh, I've that's heard, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my daughter's friend was in Oklahoma with him, and he is a really cool guy.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. Okay, yeah, so we have done kind of the more formal intro, whatever,
okay,
at the beginning.
Great.
But we want to hear from you. What is your, in your own words, kind of give us your background and sort of how you got to be where you are today?
Great. Well, it's a long story because I am turning 71, so it's a long career.
Well, you're turning 71 in like 11 years, right?
Next what? Month, actually.
When's your birthday? Oh, so, hold on, birthday.
Okay, hey, we forgot. We completely forgot.
Dang it.
So we do this thing where Mark and I both try to guess your birthday.
We've
said already it's next month.
Yeah, so we've narrowed it down.
It's way better here. We're not going to guess year, but we're going to both take a stab at the day.
Just one guess each on this one.
Okay. Well, so it is almost next month, so it is. Yeah.
All right. So
it is next, coming
so
up.
I'm going to anticipate she's talking about March, so I'm going to say March 23rd.
So close.
I'm going to get
24th.
March 24th. I got it.
First guess was actually going to be March 24th.
No, you say that every time. Okay. Anyway, so that's amazing. 71. I would never have guessed that in 1,000 years. Okay. So you were born on March 24th and proceed from there.
Yeah, so that was 1950, and that was the era when women were told, well, just you could be a school teacher, a nurse, a secretary, and so I decided to go into teaching. And I was in special ed for many years. I taught teachers how to train to be special ed teachers, and that led to a real interest in stress management. I was leading a lot of workshops for kids, for parents, for teachers, and so I got my doctorate in clinical psychology, and at the time, there really was no field of mind-body medicine. It was so new and considered so radical, this idea that, oh, maybe you can take some breaths and you could relax and that could affect your physical health. So this is what I was teaching from early 70s on, and then was trained in cognitive therapy and positive psychology. And that's where you look at what's right with people, not what's wrong with them. And I was a clinical psychologist for close to 40 years.
Wow.
And then got really, really interested in nutrition and exercise and movement, this idea that, yeah, maybe if you went out and took a walk or you gave up all the sugar you were eating, maybe your mood would be changed and you wouldn't be so depressed or anxious. And so I studied functional medicine. And when I was 65, all my friends were retired or they were saying, what do you need this for? Do I start a company? But that was my mission. I really wanted to train health coaches in this model of combining functional medicine with positive psychology, and thought that there was a real need for health coaches. So partnered with the Institute for Functional Medicine. They trained the doctors. And at the time I had somebody who was working with me and a young associate. And so we launched it together. And that was 5 years ago. And it's our mission to create health by training health coaches. And this is just incredible to see now how it is catching on, and health coaching has grown tremendously as a profession. And so this is my purpose in life, to really change the health of millions of people and also change healthcare so that it's not just acute care medicine, but it's really getting at the root causes and helping people who are struggling with these chronic conditions.
I have several things. There's three things. The first is the Seinfeld bit about all these commercials about Ambien and all these go to sleep aids, NyQuil, all these things. And he's like, could there be a correlation between that and these huge coffees we're drinking? We're just like chugging coffee all day. Like, could there be some sort of connection here? I don't know. And then I'm sure you've read Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl.
Favorite book.
Okay, so that's one of my, like, I read it every year. Like, and it's very short, it's a very small commitment, but there's just so many truth bombs. You start talking about cognitive behavioral therapy and all these, you know, psychology stuff. Like, and then the last thing is, like, you get all these people, like, I guess Rick and I could fall in this category. Like, I'm almost 40, Rick's 40. And it's like, you get all these people saying, do this, do that. It's like, you're 70, almost 71. It's like, if you're talking about health, like, I don't care what anyone else is saying. I'm going to do what you're doing. Like,
yeah, what you're doing is obviously working. Right? Like, you've got something going here.
Like, I mean, you've got, like, it's like the track record, obviously, you know. It's not like you just, like, started being healthy, like, a year ago, you know. It's like you obviously, like, and we talk about this on the show all the time, like, my goal and like what how I act today is how I want is like with a goal of I want to crawl around on the ground with my grandkids, right? Like, yeah. that's how I think of it. And like, oh, that quote, hold on, I got to say this quote because it's pertinent and it will be very easy to find, and it is this, and it is, the quote is as followed: keep in mind always the present you are constructing, it should be the future you want. How about that as a quote?
I love that. Yeah. That is absolutely correct. It's really, really resonates. And change is absolutely possible. And I like to see myself as an example of that. If I look back in my 20s, it was like, I was a mess. I was binging on sugar. I was knocking down pints of ice cream and then wanting more. I wasn't exercising and I was sitting all day. And
you were at Woodstock.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, I remember Woodstock. I was in college in Woodstock.
Oh,
here.
That's crazy.
So that was I'm a boomer. And so then started to change. It was slow, and it wasn't always the right path. So I've been on every dietary trend. If you were to go into my kitchen and you would see all these cookbooks from, okay, here is the fat-free era, and here's the vegan and the raw vegan and the macrobiotic and any trend that we thought we knew so much at the time, especially the fat-free, we thought we were so right. And meanwhile, we were eating, you know, snack wells and all, it's good for you. It has no fat, but it had like tons and tons of sugar. So yeah, and just continually evolving, being really open to research and not being tied to one approach. But at this point in my life, it's just relentless self-care. Right. It's just exercise is like brushing my teeth. Right. And it's just so a part of my life. But I've also relaxed what I used to do. So I remember in my 30s and 40s, I was tied to the treadmill. Like every morning I had to run an hour, no matter what. I have to get 5 miles, timing it. And now it's more snacking on exercise throughout the day, doing
more natural movements.
And very efficient, high intensity. So as we're finding the research, it's not even good for you to be, you know, so tied into like running every single day or doing something aerobic for an hour. 10-15 minutes full out, sprints, for example, can be much more effective, and strength training can do a lot of
that. And sustainable.
Yeah, it's sustainable. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and I think what you're a model of is this like constant evolving, constant learning, right? It's like you got a lot of people that the conventional wisdom kind of descended upon them that, you know, fat was bad, and that was it. They were stuck again. The Seinfeld. I just finished the Seinfeld book. Is this a thing? And I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. But he talks about like dads, their fashion stops at like the greatest point in their life. Like usually by the time
it freezes at that point.
Right. It's
now.
Like about the time they have kids, they're just like, we're riding this out to the end, you know? And so like, but a lot of people have that mindset of, okay, this is the way. And that's a Mandalorian thing. This is the way. And then, sorry, I just finished that too. And then they don't ever change. Like this is what I'm doing. And sorry, that's it. But like, I think the key to longevity is being able, like when here's an example that I use a lot for people. It's like, I don't want to be the kind of person, and you are not the kind of person, obviously, that like when I'm I'm a granddad or whatever, and I'm 70 years old, and then I'm like, I don't like change. No, I'm set in my ways. It's like, so I'm like, embrace the change. Like anytime the iPhone update comes through, embrace that. Don't be mad about that. Oh, the email looks different. Good. Embrace that. Like learn something new. Like always, like the neuroplasticity stuff, like that's the key to longevity. And so, yeah, talk about that a little bit as far as like how you were able to. Is that just something that you were just kind of came basic cable with your genetic code, or was that something that you really had to figure out? Like, I need to constantly be learning and constantly be evolving, or I'm going to get stuck.
Yeah. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, well, just as I'm committed relentlessly to self-care, this is self-care for the brain.
Right.
And I don't want to be, I want to be old and energized and sharp. I don't want to be old and senile. And so that means the brain is a muscle and you have to exercise it. And how do you come to do that? You come with a character strength called curiosity. You want to be curious. You want to be constantly learning. And so many of my contemporaries, I hear, oh, I'm too old to learn this. I'm too old. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And so they don't do it. And I was, it's a riot. I'll get on, like, I was teaching them how to use Zoom, and it's like they're just, it was just so hard. They don't know.
She knows how to use Zoom more than everyone else that we've, like,
yeah. There's some funny videos going on where the guy's trying to teach his dad, you know, how to use it. It's like his head is like under, you know, buried, and then they can't, it's just, you know, oh, how do I mute and how do I get a camera? But anyways,
this on Zoom.
I love it. Yeah. I love playing around with virtual screens and animation, and it's so much fun, and learning new reactions and also learning new platforms. So I've been on Clubhouse. In fact, I was almost late to this call.
Never heard of it.
Clubhouse is this, right now it's only on an Apple iPhone and it's in beta testing. And yeah, this is, it's, if you imagine the early days of talk radio. So imagine we're doing this podcast, it's only audio. So you're only on your phone. Which I love because you don't have to worry about what to wear or how your hair looks.
Right, right.
You're not seen.
Yeah.
And you could just be out taking a walk and doing it. And people are sponsoring these rooms, and then the listeners can come up and talk. So it's like a talk radio format. Picture your podcast now, audio only with listeners. So anyways, it's in beta testing and I've learned how to do it and I'm going in and sponsoring rooms, but I'm like the oldest one.
Right.
Like, you know, there's nobody, or I shouldn't say nobody. I don't know that for sure, but it's definitely, I'm not the normal age for this, but I love it because I'm learning new things. Learning a new language. I'm taking tap lessons online, and just learning new things. And took tons of Spanish in high school. And
I'm learning Spanish right now.
Yeah, using Duolingo.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah. And Floki. I've always wanted to learn to play the piano, and so I got this app called Floki, and it's so cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is amazing.
You know, it's interesting.
That.
You use the term self-care, and I'm glad that you said that, because we have this idea right now that self-care means like taking a hot bath or, you know, having a cup of cocoa and using both hands to hold the mug or anything like that. That's not really what I mean. Those are kind of forms of self-care. It's good to relax and decompress. But self-care really is more about doing things that take care of yourself. It's not necessarily just like going and having a spa day. It's
indulging,
doing things that are good for your brain. It's doing things that are good for your body. It's making sure you're making good, dietary choices. Those are what we're talking about when we talk about self-care, things that will help you create right now the future that you want to have. And, you know, Mark talks about, you know, wanting to, you know, be on the ground playing with his grandkids. That's really, you know, my father's in his 70s. He just retired a few years ago, and his body, he's in such terrible condition that his retirement is miserable. He has to be in pain all the time. He's, you know, and I see him and I'm like, that is not what I want. When I spend 40, 50, however many years it is, working towards retirement, and then I finally retire, and then I just I retire in a
misery
lazy chair watching television all day.
Right.
But that's not what I want to do. You know, I want to be able to go do the things that I can't do now. Like, I don't have time to go travel to Europe right now, but you know, that's something that I want to do, like, when I'm retired, and I can go, you know, take 3 weeks and go, you know, explore someplace, or, you know, travel or do things like that. So, you know, that's what really what self-care is about to us, is that it's doing the things on a daily basis that will help you have that kind of future you're talking about.
I love that. And you're describing then a question that coaches are trained to ask their clients. What do you want your health for? What matters most?
Right.
Where do you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years? And they will say things like, I want to be able to get down on the floor and play with my grandchildren and not, you know, not be able to get up off the floor. And so that self-care.
Yeah, you're not down there after you've fallen and can't get up. And then you're like, hey, kids, I'm down here. come play with me.
Right. Yeah. And then so then you go back in time and say, well, what do I need to do today so that I will be there? And that's how I operate. And so self-care could be something like keeping up on research, like, oh, who knew that cold plunges, you know, are good for you? And so doing
cold showers. I take cold showers.
Yeah, absolutely. And things like that, or learning a new language, or learning to play the piano, or experimenting with a different way of cooking, or just having experiences that are going to be nurturing. And I so agree about this narrow definition of self-care, like doing some deep, you know, going to meditate and while you light some candles. For me, zest is one of my character strengths. So I'm always like energized, and I like to walk and meditate, or I take a ballet class, and I love to get carried away just by the music combined with the movement. And so for me, that is more relaxing than I remember once I was in a meditation class, and we had to sit there for 30 minutes. You know,
you're like, I could be reading a book right now. Like, I could be learning something.
Yeah. I actually got up and walked out, because all I could focus on was the mold, the smelly carpet that we were on. And so this is like not good. I don't, you know, it's a gorgeous sunny day, and I'd rather be outside taking a walk. So it's personalized. What can be very relaxing for one person can be anxiety provoking for somebody else, and vice versa. So you find what works for you. For me, it's always music, getting carried away by music and dance and laughter. So you mentioned Seinfeld. I love those are priceless and so guaranteed to laugh. And laughter is one of the most powerful anti-inflammatory, anti-aging techniques that we have.
Yes. So coaching is a very formal word. Another way that I think of that is, like, when I read a book, like, the way that I retain that is by, like, talking about it to someone else. And like, that process on steroids is actually, like, saying, like, okay, Mark, like, you need to teach this group of people about sleep, right? And so that's how you're going to learn something. And so I think coaching is one thing. Coaching doesn't mean you're an expert, right? Coaching doesn't mean you know every answer that the questions are going to be asked. Like, coaching is like you learning it and then processing it and then trying to turn that into bite-sized pieces for other people. So kind of take us through, like, that. Like, I love the coaching model, because not only is that helping other people, but that's also helping the people learning to be coaches. Like my wife teaches in teacher education at a university. Like, she teaches the teachers, right? And so she knows her stuff, right? Because she's having to teach others. So kind of talk about that coaching process and how it's sort of the symbiotic thing where everybody is just learning all the things.
Oh, yeah. So one way to conceptualize coaching is to picture a stagecoach, which is where the word came from. What does a coach do? It takes you helps you go from where you are to where you want to be. Huh. It takes you to your destination. Coaches help people change, particularly when change is hard. And so when we're talking about changing your diet or starting an exercise program, most importantly, sustaining it, A coach is there as your personal cheerleader, to be your guide, to provide education, to provide support, to listen. And so people really need to feel heard. And often they go to experts, they might go to their doctor, and they feel like, your doctor doesn't listen to me, or they're rushed. They don't, they're just out of the room and onto their next patient. And I didn't even get to really talk to him about all my questions. And so a coach is there to provide that support, education, and you feel as the client like you're in the driver's seat. You can talk about what wherever you want to go, but it's not therapy. It's not like you have that you are in psychotherapy where the orientation is, well, let's dig into like, why do you think this is happening to you? And it's digging deeper and deeper, often into your past. This is about change. How can you create happiness, and how can you live a good life right now? How can you get healthier? And so it's starting off in really, really small steps. We work with BJ Fogg, who wrote Tiny Habits. It's tiny, tiny increments that then become habits because they're associated. They become part of your daily routine. And a coach can help you with that in so many areas. They can help with sleep. They can help with exercise, of course, food, but also with meaning and purpose, as we've been talking about. They can tell, they can recommend to a client that they read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, and they discuss it. And what did you think about how you connect your purpose, you know, with love and community and engagement?
Have you heard of this one? This is kind of the all
yes,
the new one.
Yes,
I haven't started it yet. Uh-huh. I bought it. Somebody recommended it to me over the break, and I just got to a point. I finished some books that I've been trying to finish, and so I'm starting
audio,
this one.
If you're listening audio, oh, yeah. Atomic Habits is the name of the book.
By James Clear. Yeah. Charles Duhigg wrote a book called Power of Habit, which is also really good. We mentioned Man's Search for Meaning. What are some others? What are some other books in your experience? Not necessarily anything that you've read. I mean, it could be something you've read in the last year, but like, what are some of the classics? It's like Man's Search for Meaning, things like that, that you would recommend to people.
Yeah. So anything by Tal Ben-Shahar. He.
Will you spell that for me?
Yeah, Tal Ben-Shahar.
Got it.
He has a Happiness Studies Academy. He teaches courses, and he used to teach at Harvard. He had the most popular course in the history of Harvard. Dang. It was a course on happiness. It was standing room only. People were clamoring to get in. He's really engaging. And so he's written a number of books on happiness. Barbara Fredrickson, who's also written a book, she is a researcher in positive psychology. And Barbara Fredrickson has written a lot of books about positivity. The father of positive psychology is Martin Seligman,
yep.
S-E-L-I-G-M-A-N. And he wrote Flourish. And that's a classic. Our more recent book is called The Power of Meaning. And I love it. She brings in a lot of Viktor Frankl. And it's by Emily Estehani Smith, or you can just say Emily Smith to make it easier. And I highly, highly recommend that book. She ties it all together.
Heard of Jonathan Haidt. He wrote The Happiness Hypothesis. And I just finished The Righteous Mind, which we talked about last show, Rick. Why good people are divided by politics and religion. And I'm like, I can't recommend this enough, especially as everybody is like, how can people be so stupid in my life? And then there's other people thinking of that about you. Like, how can you be so stupid? You know, and so kind of marrying those things together. But anyway, okay, I can't believe this. It is 8:58. And we like there was a list of questions that I had, and I literally did not even start asking you questions from the list of questions, because that was such a good interview, and just we were kind of going down the rabbit trail. So very quickly, I have a question I'm going to ask you, but first I want you to tell people where they can find you. I know the Functional Medicine Coaching Academy, FMCA, I'm going to have that link in the show notes. Where else can people find you if they want to reach out?
Sure. Well, my personal Instagram is at Dr. Sandy. It's S-A-N-D-I. They can also go to FX Med Coach on Instagram. And then our Facebook page is Functional Medicine Coaching Academy. So they can reach out there or through the website, functionalmedicinecoaching.org.
functionalmedicinecoaching.org. I've got it right there. Okay, and here's the question. Here's the question that we ask
all of our first-time guests.
All of our first-time guests, okay. We ask them. And this doesn't have to have anything to do with anything we just talked about. But what is something that you enjoy about life or something you do that makes life more enjoyable? A hobby, a group that you're involved with, anything?
Yeah, I would have to say dance. I've always loved dance, and I take tap dance. And I've finally learned the time step, and I
step
take
change.
Ballet. I take ballet, and I've mastered a pirouette. I couldn't do it when I was younger, and then anything dance-like. So there's the formal dance class, and then Pilates, yoga. I combine that, so it's dance-like.
Yeah.
And then sometimes just great music will come on, and I just turn it up really, really loud and dance around the living room.
Okay, you have one song. And all the rest of the songs are being burned up in a volcano. What song do you choose to dance with? My knee jerk is Philadelphia Freedom, Elton John.
Well, I'm going to have to go with something my daughter wrote from Emoji Land, and it is Anything is Possible.
Okay.
So it's
awesome. That's a cool kind of connection there.
I would
so
party rock.
Actually, the formal name of the song is Zeros and Ones. So it's about anything is possible with zeros.
Yeah.
Anything that I hear that and I'll just get really, really excited because the message so resonates.
In this book, Jonathan Haidt, The Righteous Mind, he talks about there are ways to kind of click on the hive brain. Like whenever you hear about stories of, you know, how would you do something so heroic in a wartime setting? It's like, well, I've been like marching in step with this group of people, and we have become like this other mind. And so like doing things in unison with people is one way to like turn that brain on, where you're like, you're something more than just your individual. And raves, he talks about raves, because it's like, you got these mind altering drugs and like the dancing all night with people in the same, and it's like this, like, you know, like this, I don't know, out of body experience kind of thing. So dance is a really important part of our human brains. I also like to dance. I was best male dancer in a dancing competition in Abilene. It's not a big deal. Let me get my trophy. Just kidding. I won't do that again. I just did that like a few shows ago. Anyway, well, Dr. Sandy, you have been great. This has been just an energizing conversation. You're very inspiring and awesome to talk to. And hopefully, maybe we can let's schedule you back on the show so we can actually ask some of the questions that I plan to ask you. Yeah. So this has been great. And I'll send you the links to when this goes up on YouTube and on our audio platform. And we'll get you back on the schedule.
Oh, thank you. You guys are awesome. It's been so much fun to talk to you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
It was a pleasure.
You too. Bye.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
That was great. I mean, seriously.
That was really terrific.
Like, 71.
It's interesting from my perspective because my dad is...
my dad's 65.
My dad's 4 years older than she is. He's 75. And if you talk about like quality of life, and I'm not, you know, sitting bagging on my dad or anything like that, but health and wellness has never been anything he's had any concern over whatsoever. And you just look at like the
choices and the habits,
the rate at which she is probably enjoying life as opposed to the rate at which he is enjoying
life.
Like,
would your dad, could your dad learn tap dancing right
now?
No.
This is the thing that's ironic, is he, for years and years and years, you know, they were good at with their money and they saved and saved and saved, and they wanted to move out to the farm. Because that was, you know, where he spent all of his summers, or out there at the farm doing farm work. And we have a ton of family live out there.
And he can't do anything.
He can't do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go out there and I help him. And then, you know, that's, you know, something that we can do kind of together is, you know, I do help him do some chores. But like, that's the great irony of this, is he wanted to go out and live on the farm and be a farmer. But he can't farm because he's just not in the condition to do that.
Right.
So it's just interesting that juxtaposition between him, and then you have her, and she's taking tap dance lessons, and she's, you know, she's moving. And because her larger life picture has been motivated by making sure that she does things, makes good choices. And it wasn't, she'll admit that it wasn't that way the whole time.
Right.
She's done all kinds of fad dieting, but at some point, like, it's not a linear journey. It's not A to B. You know, you try and you try what works and what works, and you know, sometimes this doesn't work.
Continual learning, yeah. Something
that's good, and you're constantly trying to improve and do better. And it's just, it's, you're right. It's very inspiring for sure. I think a lot about how and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like it's something ridiculous. Like the average police officer dies within like 4 years of retirement.
Right.
And I'm telling you, stress, I'm not working my rear end off right now
to die in 4 years.
The pension's great. And if they'll pay you a lot of money as long as you live.
Right. Well, they know.
I'm going to try to milk them for every penny that they owe me.
That's why the pension's so great. Because they're going to be dead
exactly
in 5 years.
That's actually exactly right. That's why the money is so good, is because, your typical, you think of like a policeman in a police car. It's not chasing down bad guys. You're sitting on your ass all night, eating fast food, and
right.
Tons and tons and
not
tons
exercising
of
for sure. Yeah.
You're never exercise. I mean, yeah. You may be. You know, a lot of those guys do exercise, but you're
not on the job a lot.
Hours,
yeah.
And hours and the stress, and you're not doing anything about any of that, and it's just sucking years off your life. And so, I enjoy my work. It's fulfilling, but like, there's a reason I go to work. It's so that eventually I can not go to work.
Right.
So eventually I can retire and do the things that I can't really do right now.
Right. Yeah.
So you talk to somebody like her and it's like, man, this is really how you grab a hold of something.
Yeah.
Like that,
Always learning, always evolving, never getting stuck in your ways. And I just love that quote. Keep in mind always the present you are constructing. Think of, like, so that's tip of the week. It's not like a thing to do, except for like, think about, Look back the last 10, 15, 20 years you're listening to this. What future are you constructing with the habits that you have right now?
Yeah.
Right? And so
if you keep doing what you're doing right now, what kind of
what
future
is your future?
Are you going to end up
having? So, I mean, really,
this doesn't mean
yeah.
you have to go out and you have to like go immediately in your kitchen and clean everything. It's not that.
Right.
It's not maniacal focus on like weighing every micronutrient. It's about making choices that will make your health better. It doesn't have to be running 5 miles a day.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, just never eating anything other than vegetable. I mean, those are parts. It
right.
doesn't have to be fanatical about it.
Yeah. Well, and
have a good life without
I
that.
Tell my kids, cause I've got my daughter's in middle school now, and I've got a fourth grader and a first grader, and my little brother through Big Brothers Big Sisters is in seventh grade. And so things I'm trying to tell them, it's like every time you exercise, every time like my little brother who's in seventh grade, he's like playing basketball and football and stuff. So he's been working out and stuff. And it's like every time that you do anything like that, there's resistance training, that you are making a deposit in the bank. Imagine like if you walk by a bank every day, and every day you walk by the bank, and let's say you just put $2 in. Like that's nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's just a 10-minute, you're stretching, you're doing something. You are depositing something for the future. Now, if 10 years go by, it's going to be quite a substantial amount you've got in there. If you don't, you decide, you know what, I'm not going to give the $2 today, and you do that enough, you don't have anything, right? So it's the little stuff. It all adds up. And so
Absolutely.
I'm trying to, and that's not just in working out. That's in your money, finances, and that's in your relationships, and that's in every domain that you can think of. Like it's just that
you've got to be making those deposits.
Playing the long game.
It doesn't always have to be $1,000 deposit. You're right. It can be a dollar here, but a dollar there. You know,
just as long as you're doing something. But
exactly.
Speaking of Big Brothers, Dylan, Simply Human's own Dylan, was the West Central Texas Big Brother of the Year, and we. Gave him his big award yesterday.
My little brother moved, and no one has any idea where he went.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
He moved school districts, and no one had any idea, hide nor hair.
Ugh, that's terrible. Well, so we already said the tip of the week. We got shows booked out the wazoo. Read Is This a Thing by Jerry Seinfeld. It's like all of his notes from his whole career.
I feel like if I just talk to you enough, I'm going to have eventually heard the whole book.
The donut hole. If it was a real donut hole, there wouldn't be anything on the plate. What's the deal with grape nuts? They're not grapes, they're nuts. Well, there is this one.
It's funnier when he says it. Yeah. I mean.
Did you see the thing that Jen posted that I listened to this one part.
If it's on Facebook, no, because I'm not getting it.
Well, so he there's this deal, and I memorized it, and it was like, I tell you what's separating men from animals. It's not the opposable thumb, it's pockets. Dogs out in the backyard digging holes, they're trying to make pockets. He's like, that's what's separating animals from humans. He's like, but hang on a second, kangaroos have pockets. How come they have an advanced species? He's like, yes, they do have pockets. They have little arms. They can't reach the pockets. It's just
that's
so
actually pretty funny.
Is this a so works. Is this a thing that his book is just like? I mean, on the audiobook, and I wanted the audiobook because it's like Seinfeld reading it, so it's like him delivering it. So
in
it's
his voice.
Oh, it's so great.
The fake Seinfeld voice.
And these bits are like 60-second long, just little notes that he's kept over the years, and a lot of it is familiar from his stand-up stuff. A lot of it is like stuff that you've never heard, and a lot of it's not funny. It's not that great, but that's why it's. You're just now hearing it because it never like turned into like part of his act or whatever. But just he's a guy that like, you know, he's not just like, oh, he's just a funny guy that just got lucky. He works his freaking butt off over his career writing and like just like slaving away at the desk or whatever. So anyway, read Is This a Thing and read all the other books that we mentioned. So that is 9:10. I'm going to go watch the mass. That's going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember...
They're like, enjoy the show, Pee Wee Herman. So until next time, enjoy yourself. That was a pretty good show we just did.
It was.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.